Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Every show has a theme. Today's theme is winning at the games we play. My next guest is a winner in every sense of the word. If you want to call in and talk to a true basketball legend, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Hall of Fame forward Rick Barry is the only player ever to lead the NCAA, the NBA, and the ABA in scoring. His name appears near the top of every all-time offensive list. He scored more than 25,000 points in his professional career in four different seasons, averaged more than 30 points a season. He was named to 12 All-Star teams, 4 All-NBA first teams, and 5 All-ABA first teams. Barry was nearly unstoppable as an offensive juggernaut. He was a passionate competitor, and he had an untempered desire to win. He led the otherwise ordinary Golden State Warriors club to the NBA championship in 1975, captaining the team and averaging 30.6 points a game. That made him second in the league that year. Just an all-around basketball great. His accomplishments go on and on and on, and we could talk about them, and I'm sure we will during the interview, but I want to bring on Rick Barry. Welcome to the show, Rick. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you. I hope everybody else is doing well, because when you get to be my age, health is everything.
That is so true. Health and peace of mind are the two things that we need. Well, first of all, I got to ask you, Rick, you were an intense competitor, obviously a champion at every level, college and in the pros as well. Where did you get your intense desire to win and to be the best?
Probably from my father. My father was the semi-pro player and coach, and he was a perfectionist, which I became, which can be a blessing and can be a curse, all wrapped up in one. But if you use it properly, then I think the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages. And my dad was a strict fundamentalist and taught me the game and set the foundation that I was able to build upon. And then God gave me some natural ability and talents that I was able to do some things with to take advantage of the counseling that I got from a great many other people, including my older brother, Dennis. And that's really what it's about in life. I mean, it's about learning the fundamental principles and concepts of whatever it is you're trying to accomplish in life. If you don't have that foundation to build on, you can only build a skyscraper so high and it topples over. It has to have a foundation to be able to support that. So in order to maximize your full potential, it's essential that you put down that foundation, and the foundation are the fundamental principles and concepts of whatever it is you're doing, whether it's basketball or in the business world. It doesn't make any difference. It's all about learning.
Well said. Well said. We're talking to Rick Barry, everybody. Now, Rick, there's a story behind your jersey number 24. What is that story?
Well, I wore 24 because my boyhood hero was Willie Mays. I was actually a better baseball player in high school than I was a basketball player. I was an all-state baseball player. But I had a bad situation that took place and was the junior varsity coach who wouldn't let me play when I wasn't pitching. And I pitched and I played center field and first base. I actually played every position sometime in my early years. I learned very quickly that catching was not one thing that I wanted to continue to do. That's a very tough job. So I'm batting .500 on the junior varsity, better than anybody on the team, but I'm only playing when I pitch. And I finally went to the coach and said, "Coach, this is not the major leagues. I mean, I can hit better than anybody on the team, and I can play any position, so I want to play when I'm not pitching." So the next game I pitched, I went 1-for-2, and the next game after that, I'm on the bench again. So I just said, you know, that's it, I'm done. So I quit playing baseball, and that was the summer that I totally dedicated and focused my energies on basketball, and I figured that I should probably be sending that coach a Christmas present every year, because it turned out to be the right decision for me. I went on to play varsity the next two seasons and made All-State, but my love and passion for the game, which is another essential element, I think, to being successful in life, is you have to have a passion and a love for something, because then you don't work for a living. I keep telling these people when I talk to them or young kids, I said, look, think about this. I played basketball, which I loved doing. I had this great passion and love for this game, And I went out and I played basketball, and somebody was stupid enough to pay me to do that. And think about it. If you have something you have a love and a passion for, and you learn the fundamental principles and concepts, and you really apply yourself to really to get be proficient at what you love, you can actually earn a living doing that. So you'll never have the feeling, oh, God, I got to get up and go to work today. You go and do what you love to do, and you earn a living doing it. It's an amazing world we live in when you do it that way.
We're getting sound advice from Rick Barry, everybody, a basketball absolute Hall of Famer, gold record holder in any way, shape, or form. He's also the book of Rick Barry's Super Sports Trivia, and I want to ask you about that in just a couple of minutes, Rick. But you went to college. You went to Miami and played your college ball there. At the time, Miami was not necessarily considered one of the elite basketball schools, was it? Why'd you choose to go there? And at that time, what league did Miami play in? Because now they're part of the Athletic Coast Conference, the ACC.
Yeah, well, actually, Miami was an independent back in those days, and that was very appealing to me because they were going to be traveling around the country, out to California, up to the Northeast, out to Texas and other areas of the country. And I thought that would be a great experience to get to go see some areas of the country that I had never had the opportunity to visit before.
Mm-hmm.
But more than anything else, it was because of the coach. Bruce Hale was the coach down there. They played a pro-style offense. He was a former great pro basketball player himself. We played man-to-man defense. We got out and we ran. We played fun type of basketball. And it really served me incredibly well because it was like being in the minor leagues for 4 years.
Mm.
I was training to learn how to go on to become a professional basketball player by playing the exact same style that they played in the NBA. Had I gone to another school where they played zone and they slowed the ball down, it would have been a very difficult transition going to the NBA. As it was, I was one of the few players who was able to come into the league as a rookie and have an immediate impact. It doesn't happen very often. Players come in and they have an incredible adjustment to have to make, and it takes them sometimes 2, 3, 4 years, big men sometimes even longer, before they actually learn what it takes in order to be successful. But I had this great tutelage from a great man, Bruce Hale, and that's one of the reasons I went, because I wanted to quit basketball in high school because I hated my high school coach, and I don't like the word hate, but I hated this guy.
Wow.
I wanted to quit the team. He was insane. I mean, I heard later on in life he was involved with one of the schools in New Jersey. He was on top of the faculty building threatening to jump off, so that's the kind of whack job that he was. And if it wasn't for my brother and my father, who talked me into staying and saying, look, you have a chance to get a scholarship and be a really good player. So I stayed despite this man. So it was really imperative for me to have a coach that I really liked to go play college basketball for. And I absolutely loved Bruce Hale. As it turned out, I wound up marrying his daughter, and unfortunately that didn't work out after a great many years and a number of wonderful kids. But still, I owe so much to Bruce Hale and what he was able to do for me. But those 4 years were like training, because he worked on me before I went to the pros. He was teaching me things, how to use my body, what to expect. I was so well prepared that I made the all-pro team. I was one of the top 5 players in the world at one time as a rookie going into the NBA, which is just kind of unheard of.
It's an incredible accomplishment.
Well, the only reason that happened, though, as I say, is because I trained for 4 years to be able to do that. In fact, to be honest, it was easier for me. The reason it was easier is that in college, every defense I played against was geared to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm playing against box and ones and triangles and two. I mean, all kinds of stuff to stop me. Well, when I got to the NBA, I went out there, I got one guy guarding me. I'm saying, holy smokes, this is unbelievable. I only got this one guy guarding me. The whole team's not geared to try to stop me. And I found it very easy. So it was great.
We're talking to Rick Barry, everybody, an absolute legend in basketball. And Rick, in the course of our conversation, just in the few minutes that we've been here, we've talked about 3 of your coaches. We talked about Coach Bruce Hale, who you admired and liked very much. But we also talked about your JV coach in baseball and your high school coach in basketball. So I'm going to ask you, who was your favorite coach and what did you learn from him?
Well, the one that did the most for me was my dad, because he's the one that set the foundation for me. And then I had a lot of other people help me, and then Bruce Hale and my brother. And then I had some other coaches along the way that I really enjoyed playing for. And you always, if you're intelligent, you always learn things from other people. I mean, there's nothing. If you're smart, you listen, you observe, and you learn. And you should never get to the point, and when I give speeches and talk, you never get to the point where you get complacent. You should always be striving to improve. The moment complacency sets in, that's your downward spiral to failure, because you just can't feel good about what you've done. You always have, and again, that's the perfectionism coming out of me. I was never satisfied with what I did. I was also a realist. I realized I could never play the perfect game, but that didn't stop me from trying to play the perfect game.
Mm.
And so you just through those experiences. But probably the coach that I enjoyed the most was probably Lou Carnesecca.
Really?
I absolutely loved playing for Lou Carnesecca for 1 year. I still stay in touch with Lou to this day. And he was just a wonderful person. And the reason I respected him so much was that he didn't have a huge ego. Here he is, this great, successful coach coming from a wonderful program at St. John's, coming into the pro league. And a lot of coaches kind of feel like they have the answers. And believe me, I had some coaches who were that way, who thought they knew everything. And those were some interesting experiences. But Louis actually came to us, and he came to me, and he came to other guys, and he asked for our input. Because he didn't, he knew he didn't know everything about the pro game, and he wanted to learn, and he was open to input from his players. Now, it didn't mean that he did everything we suggested, but the fact that he had respect for our knowledge of the game, I think, went a long way towards him gaining the respect of the players, which is the most important element as a coach. A coach is a salesman. Great coaches are great salesmen. They'd be great salesmen. Because you have to sell your philosophy on how the game should be played to 12 or 15 different individuals to get them all working together.
And that is sometimes one of the hardest sales that you can make. We're talking to Rick Barry, everybody. He's author of the book Rick Barry's Super Sports Trivia. Also, he's an NBA and a basketball legend. Rick, I have to ask you, you made the transition or the move from the NBA to the ABA. And at the time, I remember it was very controversial. Why did you make that move? And what did the move mean to you both professionally and personally?
Well, it was a very difficult decision for me. We had gotten done with and came within two plays of becoming the NBA world champions and lost to the eventual champion Philadelphia 76ers in 1967, a team that a great many experts pick as the greatest team in the history of the NBA. And yet, if two plays had gone our way instead of their ways, we could have beaten them. And I got done with another outstanding year. I made the All-Pro team once again. I was MVP of the All-Star game. I led the league in scoring. I mean, I just had a great year. And we came that close to winning. But I didn't have fun. And the game had always been fun to me. Unfortunately, Alex Hannum, who was our coach the year before when I first went there as a rookie, left, and Bill Sharman came in. And Bill Sharman is the top 50, great former player, and an outstanding coach as well. However, his coaching style didn't sit well with me. And I like Bill as a person. But Bill made basketball a job for me. It was no longer fun. It had always been fun for me, and he didn't give us time off. He helped me, but I didn't enjoy it. And to go through a season like that and not to have been just up on cloud nine feeling incredible except for the disappointment of not being able to win the championship, which is what it's all about anyway, I just said, you know, this is not great. And at the same time, I then father-in-law, my former coach Bruce Hale, who I respected and loved so much and who did so much for me, was becoming the head coach of the Oakland Oaks in the ABA with the new league starting up. And so I said, well, you know what, this might be an opportunity for me to get out of here, go play for my father-in-law, my former, you know, former college coach, and maybe I'll make that move and take a look at doing that. And I did it in a way that people don't really understand, because I was vilified for no sense of loyalty.
You were, yeah.
All this other garbage and stuff. But I told the Warriors, I said, look, I'm going to get an offer from this other league, and you need to give me your best offer, and then I'll make a decision. And I told the other team, the Oakland Oaks, they were, Pat Boone was one of the owners, and who to this day we're still friends. We're actually involved in another business deal right now. But Pat, I told Pat, I said, look, I'm going to get an offer from the Warriors. If their offer is anything close to what you've offered me, I am not leaving. And that's what I told them.
So you're upfront about it.
And, yeah, totally upfront. And I've always been very honest and always and honored every contract I had. And the Warriors screwed up. They came in and made me an offer that was nowhere near the offer I had gotten from the Oakland Oaks. Now, they came back with a counteroffer, but it was too late then. I mean, because I didn't have so much fun, I really was looking forward to getting a chance to go and be with my father-in-law and play for him again, because that was the big thing for me. Okay, it wasn't about the money necessarily, because I could have gotten the same amount of money from the Warriors. It was about the passion and the love.
And isn't that what everything's about?
And enjoying it.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about for me. That's what it was about. So I So I made the decision to leave because it was tough. When I went into Franklin Muley and told him that I was leaving and I left the office, I had tears in my eyes. It was a very difficult thing for me to do because I loved Franklin. He was a wonderful owner and a great person. And we wound up hooking up again together later on when I did come back to the league. But then it just started such an odyssey. It was just insane. You know, you think you start looking back on all of the stuff that I went through and all of the trials and tribulations and the traveling and the different teams. And it was unbelievable. But I did wind up getting a chance to go and have a chance to play for Lou Karnisek in New York, which was really great, and it helped get me into doing some broadcasting work when I was back during the off season on ABC television, which helped with my broadcasting career, which is my other love and passion. That I'm one of the few people, I guess, in life who had two goals in life: to become a professional athlete and to become a professional broadcaster. And I got to do both of them, and I actually got to do the professional broadcasting while I was still an active player, which is pretty remarkable. So I've been very, very fortunate and blessed in that regard. But it's not like it just kind of happened. I mean, this was a plan of mine.
It was a conscious decision, sure.
And I prepared, and I dedicated myself, and I focused, and I made every effort that I could in order to achieve those goals. And I was very fortunate to be able to accomplish that.
We're talking to Rick Barry, everybody. Basketball legend. I don't think there's any other way to describe him. Probably best known for his underhand free throw shooting technique. We got to take a short break right now, Rick, but when we come back, I want you to think about this while we're on a commercial break. What did playing in basketball at the professional level teach you? Don't answer that now. Answer it when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is winning at the games we play. No better guest to teach us about winning than Rick Barry, basketball legend at every level, college and the professional level as well. Also author of the book Rick Barry's Super Sports Trivia. And Rick, you've also got some basketball training camps. You want to tell us about that and give us a URL, please?
Well, I'm involved actually with the betterbasketball.com/Rick Barry. So if people want to have an opportunity to get some outstanding DVDs to be able to teach their kids how to play basketball properly, for coaches to be able to learn some things with this new read and react offense that Rick Torbett, who's the head coach of this website, it's just outstanding stuff. I've never really associated myself with anybody in the past to this degree, because I really believe in what they're doing, and I think they teach it in a very concise manner. And again, it's the way to be able to set that foundation that we talked about earlier in the interview. And this is a great way to do it. When people ask me, what should I teach my kids? I said, well, work on the fundamentals. And after you get done with that, then spend some more time on the fundamentals. And after you finish with that, then if you work on the fundamentals again, you'll be in good shape.
There you go. And you do that URL again, Rick, is?
It's Better Basketball. It's www, obviously, betterbasketball.com/Rick Barry.
All right. And Rick, you've been talking throughout the interview about learning, about being a perfectionist, about the fundamentals. And I have to ask you, before we went on the commercial break, what did playing basketball at the pro level really teach you? What did you get out of that?
Well, I just had an incredible life experience, obviously. It also, I think, exemplifies what it is that my father had instilled in me when I was a youngster about what the game of basketball is all about, that it's not about individual accomplishments, about team accomplishments. I was just talking to someone the other day and explaining to him that how important it is to now be a part of the team. In fact, it's my business partner, because he had been doing things all on his own. And when I learned about what he was doing, I said to him, I said, look, we've got to take this out there to the masses, because this is something, I call it the financial world's hidden secret. Mm-hmm. And I said, we need to do this. So now what we've done is we've started to put a team together, but he's still so used to working on his own. I said, Mitch, you've got to become more communicative. You're now got a team. I said, and believe me, what's going to happen is that as rewarding as your life may have been to this point by being successful yourself, because, yes, your family's there, but your family isn't an intricate part of what you're doing on a daily basis. When you're involved in a team, you become a family. And now you have someone to really share everything that you're doing together. And it really becomes much more rewarding. And that's why the basketball championship was the epitome of it. And I have three rings. I have a Hall of Fame ring. I have an NBA top 50 ring, and I have a championship ring. The only ring I ever wear is my championship ring. Mm. The other rings are insignificant, and the way that I equate this is so people can visualize. If you were to take a plate, and on that plate you were to take candles, icing, cherries, all the adornments that you would put on top of a cake for a birthday, anniversary, or what have you, and you put them on the plate, are they that appealing? Not really. What's missing? It's the cake. You got to have the cake to put all that stuff on. So all of the awards that I've won, the scoring titles, the leaders in steals, all of the other crazy things I've done, top 50, Hall of Fame, those are all the adornments for the cake. But without the championship, they're not that great. I mean, they're nice, but they don't look as good. And so the cake is what it's all about. The championship is what it's about, and that's what team is all about. And that's what I probably learned and experienced more than anything else in being a part of that and having all of these other players be a part of my life. And that's the great part. And it's also a challenge because when you're good at something, in sports especially, everybody's trying to knock you off the pedestal, okay? You're up there at the high level. You're standing above the people, above the crowd. And people are very jealous, and people want to knock you off. And so you better be prepared to perform on a daily basis. Otherwise, you're going to be off that pedestal very quickly. So I had to be ready every single night. And I can honestly say that in every game that I ever played in my entire career, there was only one game that I ever wasn't ready to play at the start of the game. So things were going on in my life that were of a personal nature. And usually I had the great ability to be able to compartmentalize things and put things on the back burner and not allow them to affect me. In this case, I didn't do that. And in the first quarter of that game, I was so mad at myself for the way that I performed and for not approaching this on a professional basis to be ready to do what it is that I'm being paid to do. And I felt that I really was letting the team and the owner and the fans down. But it only happened for one quarter in my entire career.
Wow. We're talking to Rick Barry, everybody, NBA great and, of course, a basketball Hall of Famer in his own right. Rick, you now look back at the game that you're out of, and you look at some of the high salaries that the ball players are being paid today. Are they worth the high salaries they're being paid?
Well, if they're able to get them from the owners, you know, I guess they're worth it. Do I think they're overpaid? Sure. But it is what it is, as they say, and the owners are willing to pay it. They'd be stupid not to take it. I'd like to be 30 years old again so that I could get $125 to $150 million guaranteed contract. I never even heard the word $1 million in my contract negotiation. Even when I was negotiate a longer-term contract, the only time I came to the point where $1 million came up is because my last 2 years I had a contract worth $500,000 a year for 2 years, so that totaled to $1 million. But there's guys playing now who sit on the bench and play limited minutes, maybe 10 to 15 minutes a game, and make more money in one season than I made in all 14 years that I played, and I was one of the top players in the game. And the lowest paid player in the game today will make more money in the one season than I made in the best season that I ever had.
It just goes to show you the changing times. We're talking to Rick Barry, everybody. He's the author of the book Super Sports Trivia. And so, Rick, I want to change gears a little bit, talk about this book, because this is a fun read. I picked this up, and I was looking at this. I could not put it down. I love sports trivia and so forth. But my question to you is this. You made your reputation in basketball, and earlier in the interview you talked about in high school you really preferred baseball. But besides basketball, what is your favorite sport? Because you cover all sports in your book, Super Sports Trivia.
Well, I probably enjoyed tennis even more than golf, and I was a pretty good tennis player and pretty good golfer. I got to be a 1.9 index handicap, 1.9 index golfer, but I never had a great passion for golf. Golf is always very frustrating to me. I think it's the most frustrating sport I've ever attempted to play, and the better you get, the more appreciation I think you have for the greatness of the pro golfers, being able to play under the conditions they play in, having to go out 4 days in a row and have that kind of toughness and mental focus, which is really what it's about. In fact, that's probably the most difficult thing for most athletes to learn how to do, is how to be prepared mentally to stay focused when you're performing. Most guys' minds wander and they don't stay focused all the time. And in golf, if you don't focus, you can't win. I mean, you have to be incredibly focused for 4 to 4.5 hours, 4 days in a row on the pro tour. It's remarkable what they're able to accomplish. So those would be the two sports that I like. But I do a lot of other things. My new passion in life is fishing.
Really?
On my website, rickbarry24.com, I talk about the opportunity for people to get to go on different fishing trips that I put together. I especially love fly fishing, and I love going to Alaska. I actually just got back from Alaska last week and had been up there earlier in the year. I was up there with Clifford Ray the last time, and one day, between Clifford and myself, we caught 130 fish. It was insane.
Wow.
And I'm going up again in another 2 weeks, so I just love doing that, and that's my new passion in life. It's so serene. It's so beautiful. The animals that you see, the places we stay, it's it's surreal almost. So that's my new passion, and that's that type of stuff that I love. But I do mountain biking, and I did rollerblading, and I did a lot of other things. I mean, I hunt, and yeah, I do a lot of different things. I'm an A-type personality who loves to be active doing various things. Unfortunately, I have an incredible wife who was a great athlete herself, the only woman to have her jersey retired at William & Mary, where she's an All-America player and just incredibly brilliant and beautiful and just the greatest person in the world. And every time I start talking about her, I get very emotional because the old Billy Crystal, it might have been Jack Nicholson, I think, in the movie. He talked about the fact that about the one lady and say, "You make me a better person." And
it was Jack Nicholson
for me. Yeah.
Ah, that's great. We're talking to Rick Barry, everybody. Among other things, he's also the author of the book Super Sports Trivia. Rick, the book is both fun and challenging. Did you come up with the questions by yourself? Some of them are very challenging.
Yeah, well, I worked with the editor on it, but my wife and I really worked very hard, and we had a lot of different questions and things to look at. We made the selections. We tried to keep it.
Hello?
It's not going to insult the intelligence of people who have a great knowledge about sports. It'll be challenging to them, but not to the point where someone who doesn't know all that much doesn't have an opportunity to feel like they can get some answers.
Hmm.
It is multiple choice. The way that the book is designed, the person reading the questions gets to play along because you don't see the answers. You have to turn the pages to do that. It's very clever the way they did that.
Yes.
And the diversity of it is tremendous. We cover just a myriad of sports and individuals and great teams, and it was really fun. And also, we don't just give the answer. You give a little bit more than just the answer. So you actually, it becomes a learning experience for you as well. And the beauty of it is it's very inexpensive. It's under $8. It's a wonderful stocking stuffer for Christmas, a nice gift for even youngsters to buy for their dad or for their mom if they're into sports, and even for those people. And I know that a lot of people and friends of mine have probably won and lost a number of wagers playing the games because they're all divided into games in the book, into the various categories.
Now, is it designed to be a book for individuals or is it designed to be done as a team sport?
Well, it could be done either way, actually. I mean, you can play it individually, and you can also do it and team up together and have people be able to collaborate and come up with the answers that they think are the correct, or the answer that's the correct answer. So it is fun. I had a good time. I spent a lot of time doing it, but it was a lot of fun. I appreciate Rudy Shore and Square One Publishing for doing it, and also for Buzz Time to Trivia to take it into their fold because it's a part of a great series. I mean, Mickey Dolenz is in there doing stuff with the music and rock and roll, and then you've got Joe Franklin with entertainment, and I think they just came out with another one for Fred Willard with television. So they got all these whole different categories and a whole different series. And of course, Buzz Time has these electronic games that you can play in a lot of places all over the country, and it's pretty cool. But I've always liked trivia. When it first came out, I enjoyed trivia when it first came out. So when I was approached to do this, I said, "Yeah, that would be fun to do." And I'm glad that I did it. It's nice. I use it for, you know, gifts and doing things of that nature for people, and put it up for some things for some little charity auctions and things like that to raise a few bucks.
It's a great read. We're talking to Rick Barry, everybody, author of the book Super Sports Trivia. Rick, we've only got a couple of seconds left, but I ask this of every great, and that is, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as a person who gave everything that he had and everything that he did in life and never did anything to intentionally hurt anybody. And I know in my career that people have been hurt by some of the things I may have said or I may have done, but I can assure them that it was never done intentionally. The last thing in the world I would ever want to do would be to hurt somebody's feelings or to do something disreputable to anyone. And those people who know me realize that I'm not the person that sometimes I'm portrayed to be.
And we'll have to leave it at that. That's Rick Barry, everybody, here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Thank you, Rick, for being our special guest. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tuesday.